Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio,
Australia's dumbest podcast network. Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. This is an indie podcast hosted by two gentlemen. One of those names is Levins, and that's my one.
Hey, my name
Stop.
On the other. You'll never know that my name is John.
And this week on the show, we're going to be talking about two good games, one not so good game.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about Castle Crashers, which just came to Switch.
The remaster.
Is it remastered?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Castle Crashers Remastered. Not that I can tell what's remastered, but it's called Castle Crashers Remastered.
And then I'm going to be delving, or I have been delving, into a genre of game that has been referred to by some as Limbo-likes.
Mm-hmm.
Do they call them that?
Yeah,
in my
I guess.
Head, that's what they are. Called by many, around the world.
I consider Limbo an inside-like, so...
Hey, Limbo came first.
I know, but I still do.
Limbo, inside is the creme de la creme.
Yes.
I'll be talking about Phobia.
It's Limbo Remastered.
And I'll be talking about Far Loan Sales. I've also got some emails to go through in this episode as well.
Sweet.
So let's kick things off with Castle Crashers.
Hell yes.
This is a game that I played on PS3. It was an incredible year. I think I played this and the Scott Pilgrim game that Ubisoft developed.
Yeah.
In the same year on my PS3. This originally came to Xbox Live Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And then came to PS3 maybe like a year afterwards. It is a it can be played with four players. It's a beat 'em up brawler game in which you play a knight depending on which color you choose. These are different colored knight,
different powers.
They have different powers?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Like green knight has poison. Yeah. Red knight has fire.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
There you
what?
Go. I've only ever played as the
not
Green Knight.
Know this?
I know. I've almost finished this on Switch too. It's like the second time I've never known. That's so great. I've never played this with like the way it should be played with many people.
Sure, of course.
This would be like an incredible evening of co-op entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
If you were to get three friends together, it's with yourself and yeah,
playing it again, because I have it like I still have it on my Xbox. It was backwards compatible, but it's not a kind of game I'd be like, I'm going to sit down on my Xbox and play this for a while. But playing it
instead, I'm going to sit down on my couch next to my television and play a game that I could also play on my television.
Sure. Playing it again, I'm like, this is a game that's very much built for multiplayer, because it doesn't, like, there are games that sort of, in a similar vein, where if you're playing multiplayer, they like ratchet up the difficulty because there's more people playing.
Yeah.
For Castle Crashers, it's like, this is how difficult the game is. It's easier when you got more people. If you're by yourself, a tough titty.
Yeah, get ready to grind.
Yeah, just play.
Yep. So you play one of four knights, or up to four knights. Mm-hmm. That essentially you're just making your way through all these different terrains to rescue a bunch of princesses that are stolen from your castle at the start of the game
by a wizard.
But on the way you encounter alien bees, shitting animals in the woods.
Oh, I love all those shitting animals. That's great. Some giant cat that keeps chasing you.
Yeah, totally. Sharks, all kinds of crazy bosses, different giant weapons, giant enemies, small enemies that come at you with different, you've got to take down in different ways.
Yeah.
It's I was like, oh, I might just sit down and, you know, play a few levels of Castle Crashers because I remember loving it.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure I finished it on PS3. I can't remember the end, how it ends.
I got real close. You go up to this, like, there's a level where you're kind of like riding a rocket up.
Right.
Like the final castle's like floating in space or something. Okay, something sure. Weird like that.
I'm in a desert area now. And this still seems familiar, so I've definitely made it as far as I am now. But I think I'm like 4 or 5 hours in now.
Right.
No, I think the whole game can be beat in 5 hours if you're good at it. Mm. yeah, I think I'm like maybe like an hour, 2 hours away from the end.
Sure.
There's so much fun in this game.
It's like you mentioned Scott Pilgrim. I put those two on the same level of like. Second wave brawlers, because you have your Streets of Rage and all the original, like...
River City.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. All the original sort of arcade stuff would be first wave. This is, like, the cream of the crop of the second wave. Mm. Like, these are just...
The creme de la cream of the crop.
Yeah. It's great. The combat's really fun. Leveling up your character actually feels like... You do more damage, you get more magic, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you get 2 points for the first, every time you, like when you level up, you get 2 points to add towards your strength, your defense, your magic, and your
agility.
Speed. Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't know if you play like me, I'm just like, make me stronger. And then like, you're like, shit, I need to be able to do more magic shit.
Yeah.
And yeah.
There's one castle that I got to last time I played it. It's like the entrance to the castle is protected by like a sheet of iron or something. And generally you're supposed to punch your way through these things.
Yep.
But there's a king who comes out the window and is like, haha, you are not beefy enough to get into this castle. I'm like, god damn it.
That's actually not linked to leveling up. That's an upgrade you
find. Oh, yeah, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You have like a bow and arrow, you can get bombs, you can get... different magic spells that you can do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've only ever known that this was the game in which you had poisonous magic. It's just very funny.
This is like, it's like, wait, you can reverse in Forza?
Mario can jump?
Yeah, Mario can go left. yeah, it's been fun playing, and I think it's great to have it on Switch again. I think. Because yeah. I can go to people, like, it's not like, hey, do you want to come over and play Castle Crashers? It can be like, hey, I'm here, I have my Switch, let's
play. Hey, can I impose Castle Crashers on you?
Yeah.
yeah, it's super fun. Angus Truscott, who I
host Hey Family.
Thank you so much for finishing my sentence. I had no idea where I was going there with it. He is turned off by this game because of the art style.
Right.
Because it's very...
it's very cartoony.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not too far removed from like Cyanide and Happiness, that kind of like edgy, like like purposefully cheap looking. I like it a lot.
Sure.
But like it does look like that kind of... Like, yeah, like he described it as like Invader Zim kind of level cartooning, which he's not a fan of at all. So like that might be the one thing that you would be find unappealing. I don't know.
The company that made it, The Behemoth, have sort of based all the games they've made around this art style.
Oh, really? What else have they done?
Battle Block Theater.
Okay.
Off the top of my head. And a couple of others. They did one recently that was...
Pit People,
that's the
one. Alien Hominid.
Yes, Alien Hominid was like their first one, which then Castle Crashers followed on the Xbox Live, because it was an Xbox Live exclusive, released in 2008, and then came to PS in like 2011 or something like that.
Dude, Pit People looks awesome.
Yeah.
It's only on Xbox One and Windows. So that it's all right. So this must have been, maybe, the Behemoth, are they owned by Microsoft?
No, because they've definitely released games on other things. I think initially when they were first starting out, they had like they were one of the Xbox Live Arcade developers.
Yeah, I mean, even Battle Block Theater is only available on Xbox, Microsoft Windows, and Mac.
Huh. Okay, well, I guess, yeah, they are.
Maybe they're, yeah, a fourth party of that even exists.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Anyway.
But it's super cool to have this game like as a portable game just to play anywhere. Like it lends itself so well, like a very violent cartoony game. The satisfaction in like, I know we talk about how much we love, you know, cartoon and pixelated violence in our video games, but every I guess like it's either a critical hit, or if you land a killing blow as your first strike after whittling down the knights that are the same size as you, your enemies, it decapitates them.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying just to see one of their heads just flying through the air.
I always have a moment where I'm like, because when they die, they like coin, their bodies disappear and coins come up.
Yeah.
And I can never remember, like, does the coin come from the head or the body?
It's the body, people, yeah. The body.
My wife's nephew.
Say that right.
My wife's nephew. He came round once, and I was like, "Oh, what do I have on my Xbox that I can play?" So I set him up on Castle Crashers. And
How old is he?
He's like 5, 6. I know. I set him up on that, and then the next time he came over, I was like, "Oh wait, I've got like Trials HD or whatever the latest Trials was." I'm like, "It's a motorbike racing game. You'll love this." He played it for 5 minutes, and then turned to me and was like, "Can we play Castle Crashers?" Like every time he comes over now, he's like, "Can we please play Castle Crashers?"
So, that's great. Yeah, get this violent game for your kids.
Yeah,
it's look, super
you cut,
fun.
You cut the head off.
Animals do poos in it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. What do we do next? The remaining good game or the bad game?
All right. Well, let's go back to Limbo, a game that I think is very important to both of us
yes.
in our video game history, because I remember this is another game that I think it was an Xbox exclusive at first, right?
Yes, that's right.
But it was during a time that you didn't have an Xbox, and so it came to PS3, and
yes.
you came over and we played it together.
Yes.
Passing
stuff back and forth.
Yeah, every time you died, you pass the controller, which is, I think, like one of the best ways to play a co-op game. It turns every game into a co-op game.
Yeah, anything puzzle-based and platformy, it's good to be like, I can't get this, here you go.
Yeah, and like there was it's a great mix of like, yeah, there are some puzzles in that game, and there's also just some like, you know, like, run as fast as you can to dodge from enemies, and there's like, you know, I guess like one of the hallmarks of this genre, like Limbo, is like your character can't do anything except walk, maybe walk at a slightly faster pace and hold things.
Yes. Like
drag
push
stuff.
And pull.
Yeah. Limbo, you're is trying to escape
mm-hmm.
something basically, which is also kind of a trope of the genre as well. Or go on a journey, I guess.
Yep.
And I guess traps are a part of the genre too. Like you'll be walking through a seemingly innocent field, and then suddenly, like, wham, bear
yeah.
trap.
Yeah,
you're dead instantly. Very, very quick death animations.
Yes,
and then you're instantly brought back to the checkpoint. To try again. Limbo's great. I don't know if I ever need to replay it again. I remember the jump being very floaty and. That kind of almost became a hallmark of the genre as well. Inside, which was made, who made this? Those Limbo and Inside.
Play Dead.
Inside is a perfect
masterpiece.
Absolute masterpiece.
Took everything they attempted with Limbo and polished it to a blinding shine.
And like the final half hour of that game is like some of the best video gaming I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
There have been multiple games kind of following in their footsteps. Like, I mean, they owe Limbo and Inside owe a lot to like Another World,
of course.
I guess, even Heart of Darkness, which I talk about on the show a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think they really popularized this kind of like not quite. It's like a walking platformer,
sure,
as opposed to a running. And there is like elements of horror within these games as well.
Mm.
We have reviewed a more recent kind of game in this genre that Team 17 published, the space one, Something Planet.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've wiped the name from my...
It was Something Planet, right?
Yeah.
We didn't like it.
Yeah, that sucked.
Planet Alpha.
Planet Alpha. Oof.
Yeah.
Real pooch.
That was like... And it was a game that we were actually looking forward to. It was like a kind of like space exploration
game.
Yeah,
the trailers looked incredible for it.
But it was just... It was just kind of strange and slow and sluggish. Yeah. And
the storytelling wasn't great. And
the physics of the game were really, really like... irritating and it wasn't a very satisfying game to play. And I think at the end of the day, these games, I mean, all games need to be, but especially this genre, like, because you are so limited in what you can do as a character in these games, if there isn't a level of satisfaction when you reach each checkpoint, like, what the fuck is the point of playing?
Yeah.
So I've played two of these games in the last month, two of these style of games. One of them is called Phobia, let me find who this one was published by. I should point out that Phobia is made by two people.
Right.
Developed and published by Taptic. Then I also played a game that recently came to Switch. It came out a couple years ago. Last year
it
came out.
Last year. I reviewed it in one of our single-digit episodes on Steam.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so yeah. I don't think you liked it as much as I did, because I don't remember your review of it at
all. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it.
So developed by Okamotive and published as well, I think. Maybe. I can't remember. Whatever. It's on Switch now. Called Far Lone Sails. Phobia is like as close to a cheap copy of Limbo as possible.
Right.
But because I'm a fan of that game and I haven't played it in a while, I was like, fuck yeah, I'll play a weird copy version of this. It is available on Steam, Switch, Windows, Mac, and iPhone.
Okay.
You are a girl trying to overcome her fears, which are represented by various obstacles in her path. You can finish this game in like 10 minutes.
Cool.
If you don't die. But here's the thing, you're going to die a lot.
Ugh.
And it is the physics of this game are broken as fuck. Like, this is probably the most broken game I've ever played on Switch.
Right.
It's like, basically, yeah, you're a girl in like a red coat.
Have that splash of color.
Yeah, I mean, like Little Nightmares is a kind of game within this genre as well. You play a girl in a yellow raincoat.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one, you're red. Everything else around you is black or white or gray.
Mm-hmm.
You're just heading from left to right. You've got to jump over like certain gaps. You have to walk over planks that break when you're halfway walking over the plank. And so there's so many instant deaths.
Sure.
That you then have to go and try again and again. And that's fine. That's part of the genre. You know, the kind of trap, suddenly like a spider stabs you in the head in Limbo. And you're like, fuck, okay, don't get too close to that spider.
Yeah.
But
there's like good ways to do that. And then there's just cheap ways.
So the good way to do it is like, you know, a boulder runs over your body all of a sudden, and you hear the crunch of your body as the boulder runs over it, and then suddenly you're back at the respawn point. In Phobia, when you die, there's very little sound. Like there's very little instrumentation in the soundtrack at all. There's very little foley of any kind.
Okay.
Just the step of your character. When you get hit by anything, there's no sound effect. But the Joy-Cons vibrate.
Okay.
So, and really loudly. So like it's just like, and that's how you die. And also your body, it doesn't fall limp.
Like ragdoll.
It just stops.
Ugh.
Your body just stops and like kind of like is suddenly 2D on the ground. Like, yeah, just in a lying down position.
Garbage.
I get that, like, you know, this was made by a small team and that, you know, you're limited in terms of animation, I guess, and that kind of thing. But like to release a game that like is just so unsatisfying to play, and also like, you know, there's multiple glitches, like you'll die and then suddenly the screen will be going like up down, like glitching out, and then suddenly you're just walking again. There's like some very tricky platforming that you have to do with like wheels that have spikes on them for whatever reason. You've got to traverse through maybe different ones of them.
Maybe she's scared of that.
Every now and then you like a bird will fly into you and the Joy-Cons just go and then you respawn. There's like a 15 second wait every time you respawn.
No.
I don't know if like this is like this on all consoles. But The thing is, though, visually, this game looks like it could be a really good game. And it is the kind of thing, it's like, I hope that they listen to feedback and just fix this game, which is $10 on the Switch store for a game that you can finish in much less than half an hour if you don't die repeatedly.
Sure.
It probably took me just over an hour to get through it all. I can't believe I finished it.
Right.
For whatever reason, I came home the other night after laughing about it with Angus after we recorded Hey Fam. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to finish this game.
And I'm scared of not finishing this game.
Yeah, and I there's definitely a good game in here, which is the only reason why I'm talking about it. It's no point in talking about a game just to shit on it unless it's like a AAA game that hundreds of people worked on.
Yeah.
But I think the art style of this is cool and special, and I think... The puzzles, like, while not as satisfying as Limbo, I think this is a fun distraction. If you fix these little things, if you make the hitboxes a lot more precise than they actually are, if you make the death animation a lot more noticeable, if you add some actual sound effects to this game.
All this makes me very curious, because you preface this by saying it was made by two people. Like, team size is not... Like, Stardew Valley was made by one guy.
I know, but like...
But it's just... But that's my... Like, what it sounds like is they
I didn't make a game, is what I'm saying. Huh? I can't make a game, so...
But no, yeah. I'm curious as to, like, was there a time limit? Because it almost sounds like they had a time limitation. Like, we have enough money to make a game for 1 month. So whatever we're done with at the end of the month, we just got to put that on the stores.
Well, no, it came out on Steam in June last year, and they ported it to everything else since.
But they haven't done any fixing.
It sounds like the Switch is the worst version
of it. Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. That's heavy.
I think there's a good game in here. I'm not recommending anyone pick it up unless... I think this would make for a hilarious streamed game of people trying to get past certain sections and just dying, and just this stupid character's dumb body just falling to the... Like,
not even falling, just,
just suddenly being on the ground. Yeah. And then as long as you could make sure you mic up the Joy-Con so everyone hears the whenever you die. That was not the best experience, but I do think there is a good game within Phobia, which is available on most platforms. So is Far Lone Sales. It's available on PS4, Xbox One, Windows, and Mac, and just came to Switch in the last month. Developed by Okamotive. This is a game that is less about trying to escape and more about someone going on a journey.
Yes.
And you are this little dude who we see at a tree at the beginning, and as you make your way through your house.
Seems to be mourning someone.
Yeah. Totally. Like the bad shit's happened in all of these games. And you are trying to escape something, I guess.
Yeah.
Go on a journey to honor this person. But what makes Far Lone Sales different is that this is a game where pretty early on in the game you have a boat.
Like a land boat.
Yeah. So it's like a car with a sail on it. The game is like one half of the game is like a Limbo-like, where you're making your way from left to right and avoiding obstacles and that kind of thing. But then the rest of the game is like an inventory, not inventory management, like a...
I compare it to like... It's like a vehicle management thing. But it's almost like... Reminded me a little of like Lovers in Dangerous Space-Time.
Yes, I was going to use that as an example too. Basically, you have to find fuel for your land boat.
Your land boat. I'm not sure if it's added at some point. You have a vacuum system
that can pick it up. Before, like early on in the game, you're every time you go past something that you could use as fuel, you stop your boat, you jump out, and then you go through and pick it up and drag it onto your ship. You also have to manage like the heat. Every now and then you've got to release the steam from the engine you're using. There's a brake. You also have to constantly be refueling your engine. And then pretty early on you get a sail added to this car. The sail, there's brilliant moments where like you make your way through like a pretty difficult section where there's like fire that you've got to put out. Like your ship regularly catches fire or electrical fault.
It's a real piece of shit.
So you have to put out the fires, and then you'll get through it, and then you'll be able to put the sail up and just kick back and enjoy the sail part. And watch as you progress without having to stoke the engine or, release steam. Mm. Did you finish this game?
Yes.
I loved this.
Yeah.
I was, I worked very hard over the week this past weekend, it was last Thursday. I did a gig all Thursday night, and I was tired as fuck, and I should have gone to bed, but I was like, no, I just want to play something relaxing. And besides the small moments where you are managing different things within your boat, I found this like really chill and relaxing and really satisfying to play as well. Like as you know, by the end of like the 3 hours it takes to finish this game, you're quite good at managing all the different things you have to do to ensure your engine never cuts out. And the ending is so cool. Like the final thing that you discover before the end, which is like, in which you are kind of like doing like a boss level version of managing the ship.
Is that the volcano?
No. Hmm. Oh, it's before the volcano.
It's the giant.
So like, being as vague as possible.
Sure.
I thought that was awesome, and it was so cool and so satisfying, and just felt like a great, like, you know, I feel like in Inside, that's an amazing journey, but at no point do you have to bring any of the skills that you've learnt throughout the game together to kind of like beat an extreme version of the challenges that you've been facing in that game so far. And I thought this game did a really, really good job of doing it. And it's not something that I would expect from this genre.
From memory, my thoughts on it were, I found the landscape you were rolling through beautiful,
mm-hmm.
like just very in that sort of
towns
in that sort like, of grey post-apocalyptic way. But like the scale of it just gave me like it was lovely to roll through that stuff. The gameplay I was fine with. I think it was just for me the story was a bit too subtle.
Right.
There weren't enough beats kind of within the story
when I approach a game like this, all I expect is the story to be like your character goes on a journey.
Sure.
Like what's the story of Inside?
I mean, look, it's very open to interpretation, and we don't have another don't do 2 hour podcasts anymore, Levin.
You
so
say
I can't
all games
get into
open
it.
To interpretation story wise, like you know.
Oh, Playdead and Limbo particularly are, but
like, there is lore and stuff you can find within the world, isn't there? If you go back and replay it,
there's a secret ending that kind of changes,
right?
The sort of like. It's very much like, whoa, kind of thing.
But I mean, like, you know, like Journey is a brilliant game and that has no story to it.
Sure.
And I would put this in that same category. It's just, like Journey, this is a Journey-based game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I certainly didn't hate it.
Yeah, yeah. I might go back and listen to your review of it now, actually, and see what you actually thought of it. Because I don't remember you talking about it at all.
It was very, it was like...
When we used to do like 3 hour long episodes
and we
talk about 20 indie games.
Before I had a Switch.
Right.
So my contribution to this was whatever I could pull off, whatever.
It was our third episode.
Yeah, whatever I could play on my PC.
So I talked about Yoku's Island Express, House Flipper. I remember you talking about House Flipper.
Uh-huh.
The first Bloodstained Curse of the Moon game, Farland Sales, Hollow Knight again. Runner 3, Overwhelm. Yeah, right, cool. Good, great episode.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to John's review of Farland Sales if you're not satisfied with mine.
Sure.
But I would recommend this game. And it was another great one on handheld just to kind of play on the couch.
I
imagine it would look even a lot considerably better on my TV, but I just love playing in handheld. And that's why after we finish recording, I'm going to buy that yellow Switch Lite.
So, in the interest of helping you stop buying stuff, we can never end this episode. Welcome to the world's first infinite podcast, guys. But yeah, so we've got some letters in the letterbox.
Yeah, that's right. Some letters in the letterbox. It's our famous mail segment. You can email us at allthesmallgames@gmail.com, which is exactly what Nick Stewart did this week.
Oh, good on you, Nick.
Subject, build your own roguelike.
Mm.
No greeting whatsoever. Just straight into it.
Damn, man with a
They know
thing to
they
say.
Know exactly what they're doing. Lots of people hold the opinion that roguelikes only really begin once you are pushing towards the harder secret bosses or 100% item unlocks, Isaac and Gungeon, or able to outplay bad RNG, slay the what's RNG?
Random number generator.
Oh, right, sure. Slay the spire. These people obviously play for the particular core loop and the roguelike element. Makes it an endless experience. This is the worst punctuated email I've ever read in my life. Is there a mechanic you enjoy enough that could be a hook for you to get deeply involved in a similar way? Jetpack.
The ability to honk.
There's as a massive fan of Metroidvanias, there are certain upgrades that you get like towards the end of different games. Like
sure.
I remember when you get the jetpack upgrade in SteamWorld Dig 2. I'm just like, oh my God, why didn't I have this for the entire game? I feel the same way about a flint hook or a hook shot. That's why Flint Hook is such a special game to me. I love being able to traverse with that, but often I forget that I have it.
Yes.
No. I always remember Flint Hook. It's the time slowdown mechanic that I always forget I have. But
is this specific to roguelikes or?
I guess just in general. Is there like that's the. Let's pick apart this email.
Oh God!
Lots of people hold the opinion that roguelikes only really begin once you are pushing towards the hardest secret bosses or 100% item unlocks.
I'm gonna need a citation for that, Nick.
Or able to outplay bad RNG,
random number generator.
But okay, then there's no full stop. So it could be or able to outplay bad RNG. These people obviously play for the particular game loop. Or do you reckon there's a new sentence? These people obviously play for the particular core loop.
I feel, yeah.
Okay. And the roguelike element makes it an endless experience. Is there a mechanic you enjoy enough that could be a hook for you to get deeply involved in a similar way? So, yeah, if a roguelike had a jetpack.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, but Flint Hook is a roguelike. That's that. I think, yeah, I mean.
I like it when a roguelike goes, you've played and achieved this thing. Now, on starting, you have this option to unlock. Like Enter the Gungeon does this where it's like, you've unlocked a new character you can use kind of thing. Like, don't make me start from the same place every time. Vary up my starting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, even though I've played a ton of roguelikes, I've only really ever gotten, I've not gotten towards the hardest secret bosses or anything like that. Like I just
all the stuff he says people enjoy roguelikes where I'm like, I've never done anything.
I think
that
kind of stuff is for people that don't host podcasts where people expect them to talk about a different game each week.
Sure, of course.
I'm interested in it. I would love an expert to help me get better at roguelikes, particularly Slay the Spire.
Mm.
Because
I've always felt like that with fighting games.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, that is just a case of like muscle memory from memorizing the buttons so you don't have to look at them as you do the combos.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. I guess, honestly, the mechanic that I would need to get more deeply involved is infinite time in my own life.
Sure.
And then I would just play roguelikes constantly.
Yeah.
So it's easy as that, Nick. Infinite time.
But also a honk button
and a honk
would
button,
help.
Of course, yeah. Why to honk? We also got an email from Connor who responded to something we spoke about a few weeks ago. We did a little answered an email. Who was the email from? About LGBTQI characters and themes within indie games. Seth emailed us a couple episodes ago, and Connor was kind enough to send us a list of some additional games that they recommend with some excellent content that Seth might enjoy, and many of our listeners as well.
Oh, look at us. We're connecting people here. This is great.
So, 2064 and Valhalla, two games that I mentioned. Connor actually was the one who put me on to Valhalla in the first place.
Okay.
And those are two of their big picks. But also Red Strings Club, which is another
Devolver game
that's actually on my Switch, ready for me to play.
Yeah.
Connor says it fits in nicely with those two, 2064 and Valhalla, it's a great cyberpunk adventure game with a gay lead and lots of other queer identities in the game.
Cool.
They also recommend Butterfly Soup, a wholesome visual novel around the friendship of four queer people of color. Heaven Will Be Mine is Connor's fave of all the LGBTQI plus visual novels because it's about queer MCs and mechs. Do you reckon MCs stands for like as in the rappers?
Rappers, motorcycle clubs,
master chefs?
Master, yeah. I'm going with rappers.
Maybe it's a... oh, wow, this looks gorgeous. What is this on? Okay, it's published by Pillow Fight Games and Worst Girl Games for Windows and Mac.
Okay.
And iOS, it's on iOS too. I might check this out. Heaven Will Be Mine.
Heaven Will Be Mine.
The art style looks gorgeous. It's a mech, yeah. Heaven Will Be Mine takes the mecha genre and cranks it up to, what do you reckon we're going to say, 11? No, cranks up the sexual tension.
Oh, right.
For anyone who's ever felt uncomfortable in their own body, try these giant fighting robots on for size. I'm totally going to try this. This is awesome.
Cool.
Cool. Very keen.
It's vaguely... who's the guy that did Scott Pilgrim?
Brian Lee O'Malley.
It's vaguely Brian Lee O'Malley-ish.
So, like, yeah, like a Western person ripping off off manga. Perfect. Yeah. Connor also recommends The Missing, J.J. Macfield and the Island of Memories.
Okay.
Madman Swery 65, who is the guy who did... What's that Japanese game that just got announced for Switch and they're making a sequel? It was shadow dropped in the most recent Nintendo Direct. I should just look up Swery 65. I think it's like something premonition, Deadly Premonition.
Deadly Premonition, yes.
Yeah, right. So,
prequel coming.
A horror platformer about a trans person and their pains and struggles, but also full of hope, opening with the line, "This game was made with the belief that nobody is wrong for being what they are." Great message.
Damn straight.
Connor also goes on to recommend One Night Hot Springs, a short, free, and sweet little game about being trans in Japan. We Know the Devil, another adventure game, but this time about fighting demons and growing up queer in a religious society. Of Gods and Men, a cool turn-based game with a non-binary character and plenty of queer subtext. And finally, Rabby Reeby, an anime Metroidvania bullshit, but with gay romance options.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Connor, for an incredible list of games to add to my already incredible list of games that I need to play. This month of all months.
Oh, what boy.
I'm getting at. If you were an insane this, person that wants more games added to this crazy month,
yeah,
there you go. There's a bunch.
This is being recorded in September, by the way.
When?
Because you said this month of all months.
Yeah, it goes up in September too.
Isn't this app's coming out in October?
Oh, no, it's coming up October the 1st.
Yeah.
God damn it. Well, Connor, you've dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
But thank you so much to Connor and everyone who emails us. And if you'd like to do the same, allthesmallgames@gmail.com. Of course, you can also get in touch
through
Twitter
and Instagram. I'm at 16tacos.
And I'm at LevDog. And the show is at allthesmallgame. We couldn't fit the final S in there, so make do. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/allthesmallgames.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of All the Small Games. We'll be back next week. I don't even know what the fuck. I think the new ukulele game is out.
Oh, really?
Definitely
more Apple Arcade stuff.
Of course, plenty of Apple Arcade. We didn't talk about any of it this week. So
we gave you guys a week off, but we're going back in next week.
Yeah. Hold on. What else have we got? We got. That's not quite. Yeah. Okay. Right. All right. Yeah. Ukulele, maybe. Sure. Ukulele and the Impossible Lair. It's a possibility. Concrete Genie. Does that count? Yeah, it might be a Sony published one.
Possibly.
Okay. Anyway, see you next week.
Bye.
Most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.